All right, Rabotai, Beruchim Abayim, welcome to another edition of our Thursday night class. Tonight we are studying Parashat Naso, the Parashat HaShavua. The Parashah is packed. Of course, it's the longest Parashah, 176 Pesukim. In it we have Birkat Kohanim. We also have the Parashah of Sota, as well as the inaugural Korbanot of the Nesi'im. However, there are certain Pesukim that caught my attention, not the most popular Pesukim, I'll agree, in the Parashah, but they caught my attention. And I'm reading now in Perek He, Pasuk He. Let's learn the Pesukim al pi Peshut, Pashut Peshat, as we call it, and then we'll try to say something a little deeper. Vaydaber Adonai el Moshe Lemor. This Parashah is coming right after the Parashah that talks about the Tum'ah of Tsarua and Zav. And anybody that's Tameh, and the Torah tells us that they must be sent out of the Mahaneh, and after that they must go to the Mikveh, and also in order to become purified. Following that Parashah of the Tum'ah of Tzara'at, the Torah comes along and says, Vayedaber Adonai el Moshe Lemor, Daber el Bnei Yisrael, Ish o Isha, Ki ya'asu mikol hatot ha'adam. So the Pasuk is telling us if a man or a woman, Ki ya'asu, either one of them, mikol hatot ha'adam. It seems it's a type of sin that impacts another human being. So it's a ben adam lahavero, it's a man to man sin. Mikol hatot ha'adam. Lim'ol ma'al badonai. But they're also committing treachery to God. So this is an interesting type of sin. It's a sin that impacts an Adam, but it also is considered lim'ol ma'al. Lim'ol ma'al would be like theft or stealing, which impacts God. What is this case talking about? The text doesn't tell us anything, but it says ve'ashema ha'nefesh ahi, that the person that commits this crime is guilty. Ve'ashema. He is guilty. Ve'itvadu et hatatam. So they confess their sins, which is what we would call teshuvah. They made teshuvah. Ve'itvadu et hatatam. Asher asu, that they committed. Ve'eshiv et ashamo berosho. And he has to make a reparation. He has to return ashamo berosho, which is the capital. He has to return. So obviously we're dealing with monetary over here. V'hamishito Yosef alav, then he has to add a fifth besides the capital. V'natan la'asher asham lo, and he gives it to the one that he committed the crime to. So he confesses his guilt, he pays capital value and adds a fifth. What are we talking about? This is actually, that she reminds us, a repetition of a parashah that was already taught to us in Vayikra. The case over here is specifically a fellow that came to Bedin, and he swears in Bedin that he does not owe any money to the person that's claiming it. Make a simple case. The Reuven and Shimon come to Bedin. The Reuven says, hey, pay me back the $1,000 I lent you. He's, I never, what are you talking about? I never borrowed any money. The Bedin says, are you willing to swear? Yes, I swear to God. I don't know what the guy's talking about. I don't know any money. Later on, Shimon comes along and says, I lied. He admits that he owes the money and that he swore falsely. So that's why the sin over here is a double sin. It's mikol hatot to Adam. It's a sin to Adam, but it's also the ma'al ba'al ba'ashem. But it's also treachery to God because he swore falsely. So he committed two averot over here. Ben Adam la havero and ben Adam la makom. And as a result, the Torah comes along and says he has to make teshuvah, that's for sure. And then he has to make reparation. What does he have to pay? He has to pay back the principal, meaning whatever he borrowed. If they were talking about $1,000, he pays $1,000. Plus he has to add a fifth. He has to add a fifth. Now I have to assume that the fifth is because of the shivuah. The thousand is because he owes the thousand to the Uven. What is he paying the fifth for? But Mahabishito Yosef Alab is because of the Shivu'ah. My question was, and who does he give that extra fifth to? The Natan Asher Ashamdo. You give it to Reuven, the guy that's claiming the money. I wouldn't have given it to Reuven. The sin of swearing falsely is a sin to God. Give the money to charity. Why should Reuven get the extra? It's a penalty for swearing falsely. Why should Reuven get that money? I'm not saying you shouldn't penalize Shimon for making a Shavu'ah. A Shavu'ah is a terrible, terrible sin, swearing in God's name falsely. Let him pay the money. Why do I let him pay 50%? I'm not against him paying the penalty. I'm just against who is he paying it to. You should say, I have a better idea, like they do today sometimes in arbitration. Let Shimon say to the charity of his choice. Okay, but why should Shimon get a... So I think, and I didn't see this, but I think this is the pshat. It's because that Shavu'ah pains Reuven. It hurts him a lot. Why? Reuven comes in to the Beit Din. It's an open shut case. He knows he lent $1,000. He doesn't expect the guy to be kofir and to deny it. Not only does Shimon deny it, but he swears on God's name. What goes into Reuven's brain at that point? There goes my money. There goes my money. Not only there goes my money, but there goes my reputation. Because everybody's going to say, the guy's not going to swear falsely. The guy swears on God's name. The guy's telling the truth. Look at this guy, wise guy, Reuven, trying to shake down Shimon to get it down for $1,000 and shake him down to Beit Din. So therefore, he goes out of the Beit Din at that point, not only hurt because he lost his money, but he's hurt because of his reputation. So that Shavu'ah, although it impacts, of course, God, but the impact is felt to Shimon, it's felt to Reuven. So therefore, the Torah comes along and says, V'natan la'asher ashamlo. Pay the guy that you hurt. You hurt him two ways, by denying the debt and then by swearing falsely as well. I'd like to make a point that Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch makes in his Humash. He comes along and he writes that the depth of this man's crime is not only that he denies the money. Okay, people have a yitzhak for money, he doesn't want to pay. But he invokes God's name in this. And he comes along and he gives the impression as if he's a God-fearing man. And he uses the cloak of God, and like Lashon of Rabbi Hirsch is, who mit'aleh l'dargat kodesh. He raises himself as if he's a holy guy. Because he's making a shivu'ah, kivyachol hu otem me'il shel kohen. It's like he puts on the religious garment. I swear the name of God. And then he uses God's name to further his theft. Which means it's not enough that you steal. Okay, guys, steal. But now you're using God as if you're hiding behind the religion. You're using the religion. You come as a upstanding guy wearing the cloak of a kohen. And you're telling the judge, oh, I swear in God's name. Oh, I swear in God's name, as if he's a, you know, an upstanding guy. He appeals to the to God, and he invests himself in the garment of the priest, says Rabbi Hirsch. And this is something that we're seeing today, Rabotai, in society. Our Torah is coming along and telling us about the crimes that people commit, and they commit the worst crimes, but they put a front of religion, or they put a front of morality in front of it, and that can justify them stealing. Today we're witnessing the rampant looting that's going around our country. And what does everybody come along and say? Oh, they killed an innocent guy. I don't argue with that, but to come along and use the death of an innocent guy that dies, to come along and now and say, therefore gives me a right what? Gives me a right to steal? But the Torah is coming along to say that people sometimes use little excuses, and sometimes they use even religious excuses in order for them to commit their crimes. Okay, that's the simple explanation of the pasuk. And there's something else that I wanted to point out. I wanted to point out some observations on the Pesukim now. Daber b'nei Yisrael, ish o isha ki yasu mikol hatot ha'adam. Hatot. Hatot. Now, we always learned that hatot, there's a difference between a hatat and a zadon. A hatat is a shogeg. It's an unintentional sin. The Torah is telling you that it's this sin over here is a hatat. And then it has a double language, lim'ol ma'al. What's the double language, lim'ol ma'al? Lim'ol. And then it says, ve'ashema. Ve'ashema is lashon asham, which is guilty, which sounds like purposeful, on purpose. So make up your mind, is it a hatat or is it an asham over here? This is the question. And the main question that I had when I was learning these pesukim is, it goes from singular to plural. In the beginning of the parasha, it starts off, Ish o isha ki ya'asu mikol hatot ha'adam. This is all singular. Lim'ol ma'al ba'ashem ba'ashema ha'nefesh ahi. And then all of a sudden, the pasuk comes along and says, V'hitvadu et hatatam asher asu. That's plural, v'hitvadu. And then it says, V'hishiv. V'hishiv et ashamo b'rosho v'hamishito Yosef ala v'natan asher. That's all singular. Why all of a sudden when it comes to v'hitvadu, it's written in plural? Every other verb in that pasuk is singular, except v'hitvadu et hatatam asher asu. When it comes to the vidui, that's done in plural. And then everything else, when you're returning the money, he returns the money, venatan, and he gives it to the one that deserves it. I saw this question brought down by the Orach Haim HaKadosh, Alav Hashem, he deals with the hitvadu, but I also saw it brought down by Rabbi Zaitchik. And that's really the piece that I want to read today from the Rav. He has it in his Or Hadash. And he has a very, very important piece, why it says Behit Vadu. And he introduces us to a concept that's called Gourmet Avera. Gourmet Avera is that when a person commits a sin, there's Gormim. Gormim means there's people that helped him commit the sin. People that are accomplices to the sin. They're the cause, maybe, of the sin. He doesn't argue that, you know, people have free will. We know that. But society can create a certain climate that can cause people to do things that are maybe not proper. And he gives the example. He says, if you live in a community that the financial pressures that are put on by the community are very, very strong. There's very big competition. People spend a lot of money. They make big parties and they live lavishly. So that community that lives like that, they bear a responsibility of how that behavior is gonna impact a guy like this in Alper Asha. Why is the guy denying the money? Because he's under financial pressure to deny the money. Now, again, we're not saying that the guy is right, but there's gormim, there's causes on the outside that are responsible for creating a climate that a guy now has to steal money and a guy has to deny money. Furthermore, he says, it can come from his family. He says, you know, the family sometimes, the wife and even the children, they put pressure on the husband. You're not making enough money. Everybody's making so much money over here. We don't have a house over here. We don't go away. We don't do this. Everybody's going. Everybody's buying. How are we going to make a wedding like this to my children? It's going to be an ebusha. You know, you're a loser and so on and so forth. And as a result of the financial pressures that he gets from his wife in the house, so the Rav says they cause him to now resort to making money the quick way. By stealing, by denying, by cheating, and so on and so forth. Or it could be the community's fault in a different way, he says. He says, sometimes a guy falls on hard times. Nothing to do with his fault. They wronged him. He got into a deal and they swindled him. And they took advantage of him. and he lost the money, and he turned to his friends and said, do me a favor, you know, they beat me, could you help me? And the friends tell him, listen, yeah, it's not a good time now, we can't help. And they let the guy sink. So as a result of that, he doesn't want to lose his whole life. So he starts to resort to, less than honest behavior. So the Rav says, and I quote his lashon, "Hayachidu umnam hamivsa etachet." Yeah, it's the yachid, the individual is the one that made the sin. Aval hashutafim vehagormim vadochakim lachet merubim hem ad meod. But there's a lot of people that helped him, and a lot of outside pressure that might have pushed him into that behavior. When it comes to this avon, it's not vehit vada. He's not the only one that has to make this shuva. Vehit vadu. The whole society that caused this guy to behave like that, they're just as guilty. And if everybody has to make an introspection. The wife has to say, hey, maybe I put too much pressure. The kids have to say, man, maybe we were spoiled too much and we put our father under pressure. The community has to say, maybe our lifestyle caused other people. And therefore, they have to come as well and make vihit vadu harabim. Ki rabim hem agormim hameikim ve'alohatsim she'ilsu ve'garmu et ha'yachid likana lefolat ha'avera. Which is a tremendous Musa. He goes on and he says that that's what the pasuk means when it says vehit vadu et hatatam asher asu, which means they et hatatam asher asu is in the past tense, which means they have to contemplate what sins did we commit in the past that created this climate or environment that would allow this guy over here to do something. Maybe we did something that contributed to this guy, which is, to me, when I read this piece, it's a frightening piece, because that means we're responsible for other people, and we don't even realize it. We're living. I didn't steal any money. I'm spending my own money. I work hard for my money. I spent it. I did whatever. I'm doing the honestly. But your honest living can impact other people. And at the end of the piece, I'll go back, but he writes, this is the part that shook me. Uman norahu, oto ayom agadol, it's the day of judgment. Kishadam amuvan le'olam ha'emet, when they're going to bring him to the day, yu'amad mul shurot shurot, you're going to be standing in front of the rows of judges, and all of a sudden, kitot kitot shel hata'im u'poshim shonim. And all of a sudden, you're going to see a whole row of sins, terrible sins. Who are Adam Yirseh L'Stayek with the pandemic? He said, what is this? This got nothing to do with me. Got the wrong guy. I'm not related to these sins. Aval ben ha-shamayim yavhinu v'yodiu lo shehu mityahes alehem. All those sins, your partner in them. Shehu shutaf lahem. Shehu echad min ha-mini'im v'gormim lechol minei averot shel gezel, shel znut. Even znut. A guy's committing terrible acts of znut. And they come to the person and say, yes, you're guilty. What did I do? I was faithful to my wife. You're right. But you lived a way where your wife didn't dress maybe so properly. And that created an environment of immorality. Didn't affect you maybe, but affected the next guy, which he put his eyes somewhere. All the behavior that a person lives amongst Klal Yisrael, retzach, murder, the kifira rahman l'sinat. If a person has bad hashkafot, somebody's going to be held responsible besides the person himself. V'akol mitoch hasnahat inyanim l'chaura kitanim v'kanim. Maybe he was belittling small things that he didn't think they were so important. However, mishkala tozaot lo yeshu'av. The results and the consequences are not to be. And then he writes from one of the rabbis that he studied with. He says, I heard from my Rabbi David Bleicher Zatzal that I think he's talking about over here, maybe some of our members will know better. He's talking about, I think, one of the early communists. And he's saying that the town that communist came from, it could be, it's called Karl Marx, who's the founder of communism. So he says, as a result of Karl Marx, Nihrab Shlisha Olam Mayudin. Communism destroyed Judaism in Russia. Atheistic philosophies. Vigaram the Mahpechat Olam, it turned over the whole world. So he's going to come along and say that somebody's going to be held responsible if they would have had a yeshiva in the town where Karl Marx lived. You know, maybe he would have went to yeshiva and he wouldn't have. But it was everybody is responsible for everybody. That's, I mean, that means the judgment of God is so, so strict. He says, "Sheitbeu kol ele ma'achenu b'nei Yisrael shelo shelu." If they would have yazdu yeshiva, if they would have established yeshiva be'ir shebat goriru, that tzair, that young guy, shenet gadir that parsem agad became famous l'rasha, maybe it wouldn't have happened. And then he comes along and he writes, and that's what it means in the pasuk. That the judgment is going to be on everybody. Al kol ni'lam, not only the things that are obvious to you, but al kol ni'lam, all the things that are hidden. Hakadosh Baruch Hu yodeya ha-ni'lamot. God knows what's the hidden part. Mihu ha-gorem rishon. That's the key. God knows who's the gorem rishon. God can trace back the sin. Where'd you learn this behavior from? Where did it come from? Where did this idea come from? And unfortunately, it's going to be not a situation of v'hitvadeh. It's going to be a situation of v'hitvadu. The Rab bases this principle on something that we know, and that's the Igla Arufa. So there's a dead body between two cities, and lo noda mihikahu. We don't know who the murderer is. So it says that the Bedin has to come along and launch an investigation, the Sanhedrin, and after they launch the investigation, they have to bring what's called Igla Arufa. At the ceremony of Igla Arufa, they raise their hands and they say, Yadenu lo shafichu edam alekhi hazeh. We didn't do it. So the Gemara asks in Sota, we didn't do it. Did anybody think that Bedin is Rotzim? Anybody think that Bedin is a bunch of murderers? And the Gemara comes along and says that they must confess, Lo ra'inu upatranu belo mezonot, or belo levaya. We are innocent that we did not see this man, and we did not let him go without giving him food for the road. Or we did not see this man and not escort him, you know, out to the next. That means Bet Din has to scrutinize their behavior, because if they didn't give the guy mezonot, the fact that this guy died, now, he didn't kill anybody. There's some thug came out and killed an innocent guy walking in the fields. What's it got to do with Betty? But Betty said, if we didn't give the guy food, and Rabbi Zaitch explains it. Let's say they didn't give him food. Okay, they didn't give him food. Why should they be guilty of the murder? Let's say they come along and say, listen, Rabotai, you're right. The guy left, and we didn't give him a doggy bag for the road. So we're guilty of murder because of that? We didn't walk him out. We walked him to the steps and we told him, Alamak, to have a good day. Why should Betty be guilty for that? So he comes along and he says, from the Sabbath from Kelim, he says, you don't know the impact of the way we interact with people, what it has on their psyche, what it has on the way they look at themselves. So imagine a guy, after they came to the house, on the way out, you give him a bag, you give him food, and you walk him. You walk him a nice distance. What does the guy say? Well, I'm hashuv. I must be important. Look at this. Maybe who knows what the guy was thinking in his head before he came to the house. Maybe the guy was depressed. Maybe the guy was down. So this guy, look what he holds of me. He holds of me that I'm an important guy. He walks me out. He gives me food to go. He's treating me like I'm the king. I'm the regular guy. That might give him the confidence that now if somebody's going to come and start with him, he's going to want to live, and therefore he's going to defend himself. He's going to protect himself, and he'll overcome the oppressor. Whereas, if the guy doesn't give him anything, so then he comes along and says, look, I'm a regular, I'm a collector. I came, I ate. And miskin, it was a burden on them. They sent me out, and therefore they didn't give me the right respect. Now when the guy's going to get beaten up, the guy doesn't even have any self-confidence to defend. Such a depth of even a se'udah that you gave a guy, or that you didn't give a guy, could be chas v'shalom the Beit Din's guilt that they were hands, let's say, was in the murder. And therefore the pasuk again, not v'hitvadah, v'hitvadu. He quotes a Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi is in Pesachim on Daf Nun. The Yerushalmi is talking about the law of Pan He'elem Davar Shel Sibur. Pan He'elem Davar Shel Sibur is the case where, let's say, you have a tribe and the majority of the tribe committed an Avera because they made a mistake. So one Shita says that the tribe has to bring a Korban to atone for the mistake that they made. The Rabbi Yehuda over here says, and I quote, Shevet Echad Gorer Kol HaShevatim, which means, according to this, he holds that all the Shevatim have to bring a Pan He'elem Davar Shel Sibur. So all the rabbis are asking, only one tribe committed the sin. Why should all the 11 other tribes have to bring the Korban? So the Rav comes along and he writes, and I quote, V'nislach lechol adat b'nei Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda omer, Shevet echad gorer kol ha-shevatim, like we read, Mai ta'ama, it says, V'nislach lechol adat b'nei Yisrael, V'lecha'ora, ma ashimim hem, what did all the other tribes do? An explanation is, which means if one Shevet made a mistake, all the other Shevatim also have to introspect and see maybe they didn't rebuke, maybe they didn't teach, maybe they didn't, however it is. But put it this way, the Rab's lesson tonight is sins are not done in a vacuum, sins are not done bi-yichidim. Sins always have many partners. Some of the partners are obvious and apparent, and some of the partners of sin are not so apparent. And he says that we're going to be shocked. That if all we know we're silent partners in Chas v'Shalom, some of the behavior, that's why a person has to, especially when he's in public, especially when he's doing things in Sibur and people watch him, we don't know what a person could pick up to the extent. I was always asked this question, how to explain the pasuk Poked Avon Avot Al Banim? How do you learn that? Poked Avon Avot, God punishes the children for the sins of the father. Why should that be? Why should the child? I don't have a problem with the child should get his own punishment for his own sins, and the father should get punishment for his own sins. That's justice. But does it make sense that if the old man makes a sin, so God says, we're going to punish the children. Poked avon avot al banim. What's the reason for that? Allah was shalom al-Gindi, this question used to make him crazy. Every time, and he had an answer to it. He had a theory to it. His answer was, Poked avon avot al banim, that he looked at it from a medical way. Okay, it's a different way of looking at it. He said, if the father doesn't watch his health, and he eats sugar, and he eats all these foods that are no good, so what's going to end up happening? His kid's going to become a diabetic. So poked avon avon, because the father was neglectful in his behavior, it came down. That's the way he understood it. Okay, because he was grappling with it, because it's you got to say something. Rabbi Zaitik has the most practical explanation. You know why poked avon avot al banim? Because sometimes the avon of the father is because of the kids. And therefore the kids, we always look at it the opposite. We always look at it, the kids, they learned it from the father. You know, now we're saying, no, the father got corrupted from the kids. What's the explanation? So he says, sometimes you have the kids that are very, very demanding, and they want to do things, and they want to go things, and they're pressuring, and therefore the father can't go to shul, can't learn Torah, because he's tending to these spoiled children that he has, and as a result, the father cannot advance himself to the spiritual levels that he wants. That avon of the father is the kid's fault, because the kids cause the father to make the avon. So he says, "Biglal dini shotehem mefurazod." They're asking for exaggerated things, lahanatam, and they want to go here, and they want to do this, they want to spend this, they want to buy this. And the father is under pressure, so he's got to stop learning and go do whatever he has to do to satisfy these spoiled kids. So he says, who's going to get the punishment for the avon of that father? Of course the father. We know the father. But v'hitvadu, it's going to be a joint effort. Based on this, There's a famous story that the Ben Ish Hai says in On Yosef Hai. There was one rabbi of a town, he was a Hasid. And he was a Hasid Kadosh. And there was a Rasha in the town. There's always a Hasid and a Rasha. And the Rasha, one day he comes to the bar where all the people are, and they're drinking and they're talking. And he says, I want to tell you something about our rabbi. This rabbi that he calls himself Hasid and the Kadosh, he says, the guy is a gazlan, the guy is a no'ef, he's an adulterer, the guy's a rotseyah, the guy commits the worst crime. What are you talking about? How do you know that? How do you know that? He admitted it. I was there. He admitted it in front of me. He admitted it in front of you? Anyway, the people were buzzing in the town. Finally, the Hasid hears that this guy's going around talking about him. So he comes along to the Rasha and says, I admitted it. When did I ever admit these things in front of you? He says, what are you talking about? I was in Kippur next to you when you were saying the Vidui. And when you were saying the Vidui, you said everyone, you said Gazalti, and you were crying. And you said Razahdi, and you said Ni'afnu, and you said Nishba'nu Lashavi. And you said it in front of the whole crowd. I was standing next to you. So the Rav comes along and he says, let me explain to you. But he says, I didn't commit any of those crimes. And you know good and well who committed those crimes. And Rabbi doesn't say it was him, but of course it's the Rasha. He says, you know very good that those crimes were not committed by me. You're very close to the guy that committed them. So why am I confessing? He says, because I don't know that maybe I was the cause for the Rasha to commit these sins. Maybe as a rabbi I didn't rebuke enough. Maybe as a rabbi I didn't teach enough Torah. Maybe I didn't promote this Avira as big enough as I should. Maybe I was talking about the wrong items. Maybe I didn't focus on this thing, and therefore it became lackadaisical. I'm not making teshuvah for the sin per se, but maybe unintentionally, like the story we learned in Masechet Shabbat recently, we learned about the cow of one of the rabbis that says, Paratosh Rabbi Eliezer went out on Shabbat carrying a red string between its horns. The Gemara says, what? The Rabbi Eliezer is going to be Mechalel Shabbat, Asma Shalom. The Gemara says, no, it wasn't Rabbi Eliezer. We take it back. It was his neighbor. So why would the Mishnah for eternity? By the way, that Mishnah is written, every kid in yeshiva learns it. Parato should be the Ezek. Now, you're right, there's an asterisk. You have to look at the small print in the Gemara. It wasn't his parah, it was the neighbor's. But guess what? Until you get to that asterisk, you think it's to be the Ezek. That's what the Mishnah says. Why would the Mishnah punish him for eternity like that? And the explanation is, they said, because he had the chance to rebuke his neighbor and give the neighbor a good word, or a word, I should say, and he didn't. And therefore, on the Bidi Aizah's level, he needs a teshuvah for that. So when the Rab gets up and says, Hilalnu Shabbatot, the Rabbi's Mechalel Shabbat, no, the Rasha's Mechalel Shabbat, but the Rab needs to make teshuvah for that, because unintentionally, maybe the Rab didn't teach Hilchot Shabbat enough, maybe the Rab didn't speak about it enough, maybe he didn't rebuke, maybe when the Rav heard that the Rasha told him, oh, I do this on Shabbat, the Rav's reaction was, okay, don't worry about it. And when the Rasha saw the rabbi's lackadaisical, doesn't have to be a rabbi, anybody. When he saw the rabbi, the guy's response was lackadaisical, okay, must not be so poor. He didn't fall off his chair. And therefore, you're responsible as well. There was one time, there was a story with the Baba Sali's daughter. She once said that in her whole entire life, she never got jealous. No jealousy. Never was jealous of anything. Somehow. She said, one time I was on a trip with my father to Baba Sali, and we were staying by a rich man's house. And after the trip was over, my father wanted to get the balabayit, the host, the gift. You know, we stayed in his house. And she's 5-6 years old. So my father bought like a doll or some type of little toy and gave it to the balabai. What's he going to give the balabai? Give it to this kid. As I cut out the toy. So I turned to my father and said, oh, Papi, I want one like that. And my father looked at me, Baba Sali. His eyes were raging like fire. he starts to shake. Kina, jealousy. We never saw a reaction like this. You thought I was eating poison. Worse, he said, that reaction of my father was so strong. Why do kids, our kids, speak Lashon Hara? Very simple. Because when they speak Lashon Hara, we don't speak, yell at them as loud as when they forget their lights on in the bathroom. Oh, that we scream, hey, who left the lights on over there? I'm paying this electricity bill over there. Shut the lights. Don't go to sleep. Oh, then they'll know that. Why they brush their teeth every night? Because their mother screams at them, if you don't brush your teeth, you're not going out today. Did you ever tell your kid, if you speak Lashon Hara, you're going to be grounded? So therefore, a lot of the Chas V'Shalom, we're not incriminating. We're just being mechazek. That when you see a person make a sin, before you come along and say, hey, he made an avirah, you have to ask yourself, maybe my reactions, maybe my behavior contributed. Vidvadu. So the Rav comes along and says, Poked avon avot adbanim. And now we go back and we read the pasukim based on this interpretation. Redaber Adonai Moshe Demor. Redaber Bnei Yisrael. Ish o isha. We're talking about over here, not the Rasha. We're talking about over here, the accomplice, the guy who maybe unintentionally, his behavior caused somebody else to commit a bigger sin. Now, the guy who's unintentional, you can't call him a posheya. It's a hatata adam. He committed an unintentional, which means he didn't intend that his action should cause a guy to be a murderer. He didn't. And listen, when a guy makes a big party, he says, oh, I'm doing this so that my neighbor will steal a bank to make a party for his daughter. He didn't think about that. He said, man, he wants to make a nice party, wants to spend money. He doesn't think about the repercussions, although it might come out. That person is beginning to be a hatat. He's a shugeg. So he says, as a result, what happens? Lim'ol ma'al. It's a double. He's making a mi'ilah, which is what? A unintentional mi'ilah. But the unintentional mi'ilah causes somebody else to make a intentional mi'ilah. And therefore it says what? The ashema ha-nefesh ahi. The other guy is the asham. The ashema ha-nefesh ahi. That means the way we understand the pasuk is it's the hatat ha-adam that causes the asham on the other guy. The hatat of society causes the asham of the other individual. And therefore the pasuk says, Vitvadu et hatatam. The guys who are shogeg, the hatatam guys. Why did it say hatatam? Let it say the asham guy has to make vidui. No, Vitvadu et hatatam asher asu, because it was collective. Veshiv et ashamo berosho. This is a very, very strong musar from one word in the parasha, vidvadu et hatatam. Every time a person does something, has to think of the repercussions. What is his actions going to have on other people? And when a person hears somebody made an avon, you have to say to yourself, what did I do? Maybe I was guilty. Maybe I didn't. I know that person. Maybe I had a chance to reach out. The rabbi says if they would have built the yeshiva, some of those guys in the city of Karl Marx, maybe the guy wouldn't have turned out to what he'd become, and Kleiser would have been changed. Vidvadu. But there's another observation on the Vidvadu. This is the shoresh and the source in the Torah of the mitzvah vidui. How do we know there's a mitzvah vidui in the Torah? If a person makes a sin, he confesses and he makes a shuvah. This is the Mekor. Vidvadu et hatatam asher asu. And we ask the simple question. Why is the source of teshuvah and vidui written, in this case over here, of Gezel? Gezel is an economy, is one of the 613. I'm not saying no. But the Gemara or the Torah could have listed the process of teshuvah in any of this. By Chelev, it could have said, לא תאכל חלב, כי כל מי שאוכל חלב חייב כרת. וידוו אדם אשר. Why did it put the source of vidui, of confession, by Gezel? Furthermore, if you look in the in the tefillah, probably the most important tefillah of the year, that would be Ne'ilah. What do we say in Ne'ilah? We start off, Ata noten yad la poshei. God, you help the poshaya come back. V'yiminecha peshuta lekabel shavim. And your hand is outstretched to bring back. And therefore, at the Ne'ilah moment, we come along and say, please, Borei Olam, give us another chance, and we accept upon ourselves, Lema'an nehdal me'oshek yadenu. We're going to stop stealing. That's the apex, which means 40 days of Teshuvah. Now you get to the last moment when the sun is setting, and we finally make the confession to God and say, Borei Olam, okay, we got us, finished. We're kneeling to the ground. Lema'an nehdal me'oshek yadenu. We're not going to steal anymore. Esther the Banim. Why does it come to that? Why does it come to Gezer? Why is that all of a sudden? Now, we're not saying that Gezer Chas v'Shalom is justified, but is that what the whole service of the 40 days of to Yom Kippur and Ne'ilah comes down to the Ma'an Ne'adal, that the goal is the Ma'an Ne'adal? So I saw from one of the rabbis on the Vaychiks, the greed, he said something beautiful. He said, unbelievable. He said, we define Gezel not like the Goyim define Gezel. The Goyim define Gezel like what you're seeing today. That you're seeing people going into this. Guy went to the store. He wants to buy something. They said, what do you mean? We're closed. This is why you're closed. He said, no, because it's COVID. We have COVID. We're closed. He said, no, I didn't come to buy, I came to loot. Oh, I came to loot. Okay, Baruch Haba, I came to loot. This is what's going on today. People are going, breaking into the stores. That's Gezel of the Goyim, Gezel Akum. How do we look at Gezel? Much higher level. No, any Jew could do such a thing. First of all, like Rabbi Hirsch said, walk around saying, oh, they killed an innocent guy, they killed an innocent guy. Well, let me get me a pair of sneakers. Get me the Rolex watch. Kill the guy, Ali Barudana, bring me that's the Kaddish. Bring me another item. Break a guy's head. They're wearing the clothes of a Kohen coming like this guy over here, swears on God's name in order to steal money. Fine. But our Gezel is much different. Borei Olam gives every single Jew potential. Every Jew has a certain amount of kohot. Everybody has talents. God-given talents. And these talents are given to the person in order to use to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And it's our responsibility to use those talents for him and not to use them for the wrong things. We say, we learned this morning in Halakha, Elohai, Neshama, Shenatata, Bitteora, you gave us a Neshama, it doesn't belong to us, nor does the body belong to us. Everything is the property of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaMazir Neshamot, Borei Olam returns it to us as a collateral. And therefore, we do not have a right to come along and use the collateral for something that the Ba'al HaBayit does not allow us to do. That would be considered Shoneyach Yad B'Pikadon, that's stealing. So when a person comes along and uses his strengths for the wrong things, remember the story of Rish Lakish? Rish Lakish was a bandit at the beginning. And what did Rabbi Yohanan tell him? Helach le'oraita, you have so much kohot, you have so much talent. Take your talents and bring them to God. And that's why the Gemara, what does it refer to him? Resh Shadeh. He was the biggest of the bandits, of the thieves. What does it mean? On the simple level, yeah, the head of the mafia stealing stuff all day long. No, he was the biggest thief because he was stealing from God. Borei Olam gave Rish Lakish, was one of the greatest Amoraim. Look at the talent that he had. What was he doing with the talent? Destroying it. Borei Olam gave him so much kohot, and that's what the Rabbi Yohanan told him. Helach le'oraita, you're Resh Shadeh. You're the head of the thieves. You're stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not the petty theft that you're involved in on a daily basis from Ben Adam La'Aviro. This is Ben Adam La'Makom. And that's why at the end of Yom Kippur, the main teshuvah that we have to say to God is, Borei Olam, basically, we're thieves. When you gave us so much kohot, this guy's a kohot to be a chazan, this guy to be a bal chesed, this guy to do learning, this guy to everybody has kohot, nobody has to be the same, everybody has the and instead what are we doing it? We take the strength, and either we're lazy, we don't do anything with it, and we go do other things with it. That's the biggest gazlan. And therefore at the end of Ne'ilah, Rabbi Soloveitchik says, and I quote, and he says, Ki be'emet ha-neshama lach ve'aguf ba'olach. Everything belongs to God. Ve'akot shelo, shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. La'adonai ha'aretz u'lo'ah. Lefi ze nimsa, kesh'adam chote. Any time a person sins, u'mishtamish be'gufo, and you use your body to commit a sin, you use your brain to commit the sin, you use your talents to commit the sin. Shelo kefi ritzono shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hareu gozel me'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's shelo. You're stealing from what God gave. God did not give you your body and your neshama to do these things. And therefore, you should have a pikadon. Ki chol ma sheyetid lanu kadosh baruch hu l'shtamesh begufenu rak l'devrei mitzvah, devarim mutarim. Achen ha'mishtamesh begufo l'devarim asurim, harei ze bechinat shoel shelo midat. It's like you're borrowing something without permission, and that's the din of a gazlan. And that's what we pray at the end of Yom Kippur. You know what it comes down to? Comes out to one avera, leman nehadal meoshet yadel. God, we're going to stop abusing the pikadon. We're going to stop using it for the wrong reasons. Based on this, he says, that's why. What is the most suitable place to teach us the mitzvah of it? Vadu al atatam avidui in the case of gezel, because every sin is not eating halif. Every sin is not wearing shatnez. But every sin is a chelik in gezel. So then when the Torah came along and talked about the guy who's stealing money via a shivu'ah, we're the same person. We're that same person. And you'll come along and say, the shivu'ah? Well, we know that the Gemara Nida writes that at the time that the child is born, before he comes out of the birthing womb, God comes to the child and he makes the child make a shivu'ah. Shivu'ah that you will be a tzaddik and not be a rasha. Not only that, all our neshamot were Har Sinai. The holiday we just celebrated now is called Shavuot. Some call it Shivu'ot. Shivu'ot could mean the swear, the oath that we took at Har Sinai. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, we made an oath. Kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh v'nishma. We made an oath. And we said, we will be loyal to you. And God took an oath and said, I will be loyal to you as well. That's the Shivu'ot. And therefore, when a person comes along, and then after he made a Shivu'ot to God, and he comes along and he takes the koach that God gave him, and he goes and he uses his mouth to speak Lashon HaSara to learn. He uses his eyes to see things he's not supposed to, instead of put his eyes in the book. He uses his legs instead of to run to the Beit Knesset in order to run to places that he's not supposed to. I mean, we don't have to go to the whole phone book, Rabotai. You know all the avirot that exist out there. The purpose over here is to show that every time a person makes an avirah, he's committing two sins. Number one, he's making a shivu'ah. He's going against the shivu'ah that he made. And number two, he's being a gazlan. And that's what the pasuk is telling us. Now I understand why it says mikol hatot adam. What are you talking about? I thought we're talking about a specific case. I thought we're talking about over here a case where a guy denied a pikadon. It's not mikol hatot adam. He made a specific sin, because the Torah is hinting to you that the dynamics of this specific sin is the DNA and the roots of every sin in the Torah. What's behind this specific sin is actually the roots of every sin. Therefore, it says Kishusumi Kol Atot Adam. And what is it? Dim'ol Ma'al Bahashem. Ultimately, every avera that a person commits, he's committing Ma'al Bahashem. And therefore, Vidvadu et Hatatam. Vidui is made over here. Et Hatatam. What do you mean Hatatam? If we're talking about a specific sin over here, of a guy who's kofir b'pikadon, it's hatato. Hatatam, because again, from this is the binyan av to teach us how we're supposed to look at the whole Torah. Asher asu, v'eshivet ashamo b'rosho. Now what does that mean? Now what is the last part? V'eshivet ashamo b'rosho, b'hamishito yosif alav, V'natatna asher ashamlo. So we will explain v'yeshivat ashamlo b'rosho as follows. The simple explanation is v'yeshivat b'rosho. B'rosho means the principal payment. You have to pay back principal. Rosho and then add 20%. But we can explain it as follows. This I saw brought down in Sefari. The Gemara says that every time a person makes a mitzvah, he creates an angel, a good angel. And every time he makes an avera, he commits a bad angel. He creates a bad angel. And the pasuk says, "V'halach lefanecha sitkecha." That after a person passes away, "V'halach lefanecha," in front of you, all your good angels are going to escort you to Olam Haba. "V'halach lefanecha sitkecha." And then it says, "Chas v'shalom," all the bad angels that a person created through his sins, it says they grab him, milafafato, they grab him and they drag him to the and they push him to the judgment. So the Mahavsha explains why, when it comes to the mitzvot go in front of him, v'alach lefanecha, and why when it comes to the Averot are behind him, they go behind him and they push him. Explanation, he says, is simple. He says, when it comes to a mitzvah, imagine the king was inviting you to a wedding of his daughter. So you have an invitation, but you don't know where the wedding is. So the king sends his agents to come pick you up. Now, the agents know that you want to go to the wedding. So they say, "Follow me." The agents go in the front, and you, because they have no doubt you're going to follow them because you want to get to the wedding. But imagine they send the agents to the same guy to send him to the gallows. Those agents are not going to say, "Follow me." The guy will run away. So they go behind him. They go behind him and they grab him and they bully him until they get him to the gallows. So that's a rule. When the angels are in front, that's already a sign that it's a mitzvah. When the angels are behind, that's already a sign that's an avera, and then the angels are pushing him to his negative fate. We also know that when a person makes vidui, which we're learning about tonight, there's two types of vidui. There's teshuvah miyir'ah, and then there's teshuvah me'ahava. Teshuvah miyir'ah, when you make teshuvah out of fear, what happens? The sin is downgraded. It goes from a mezid, and they downgrade it to a shogeg. They make it like a accident, and God doesn't punish you for accidents. And then if you make teshuvah me'ahava, what happens? The sin does not only become an accident, but it actually turns into a mitzvah. And that's what the pasuk is teaching us over here, the secret of teshuvah me'ahava. Ve'etvadu et hatatam eshel asu. They'll make teshuvah. And what type of teshuvah? Teshuvah me'ahava. Ve'heshiv et ashamo berosho. Before he made teshuvah, where was the asham? Where was the malach that he created? It was behind him. Why was it behind him? Because it was an avirah. The goal is to take ashamo and put it berosho, put it in front of him. Now already the malach comes, "Follow me. You were an avirah 10 minutes ago." Yeah, before I made teshuvah, me'avah. Now I'm a mitzvah. Ve'eshivet ashamo berosho. Now what does it mean when it says, "V'hamishito yosif alav"? What's the v'hamishito Yosif Anav? And the simple explanation is that they say that, listen, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Yetzer Hara, he came along and he said, "I created the Torah as well as its Tevanim." After a person makes an Averah, so he has now a weakness to sins. The Yetzer Hara got him already. The job after a person falls from the Yetzer Hara, he has to strengthen himself. Where does he have to strengthen himself? He has to recommit himself to the study of the Torah so he doesn't make the same sin again. Especially someone that's prone to make a sin, so therefore he has to make sure that he doesn't lapse again. So the pasuk says, fine, you make teshuvah, v'yeshivet ashamo berosho. But now, what's the change that you have to make in your life? The hamishito, that's referring to the hamisha umshet Torah, that's referring to the five books, to the law. Yosef alav. Yosef alav, you have to start learning a little more. V'natan la'asher Hashem lo, and then already you'll get rid of the Yetzer Hara. So you see, Rabotai, this parasha that we read here tonight, we never really studied it, to be honest with you. But as I said, it has very, very practical applications. The first application it has is that the sin has many gormin, it has many, many helpers. And that's why anytime somebody sins, everybody else has to say, the wife, the children, the community members, the hospital, that I contribute to this person's behavior. And the Torah says, vitvadu. However, the Torah says, they were unintentional. The Torah therefore says, Isho ishaki asum mikol hatot ha'adam. They didn't intend that their behavior should cause somebody else. It's a hatat. However, ve'ashema ha'nefesh ahi. Their hatat caused somebody else to commit an asham. And therefore the Torah comes along and says, mitvadu et hatatam. And why is vidui specifically written in this parasha? Rabbi Soloveitchik says, because that is the underpinnings of every single sin. Every single sin basically denies a shivu'ah, a pledge that you made to God, and you're stealing the body and the soul that God gave you for one purpose and function, and you're using it for another. And therefore, at the time of sin, vidvadu et hatatam, all the sins, not only the sin over here of gezel ager, whatever we're talking about here, vidvadu et hatatam, all the sins, asher asu, vidvadu et hatatam, after you make vidui, it turns into a het. It goes down one level. That's a good explanation how we added to it. Vidvadut hatatam. The first vidui is miyirah. It turns into a het. Asher asu. Then veheshiv. The second teshuvah is veheshiv. Make teshuvah me'ahava. Et ashamo berosho. You bring the avera that was behind you, that's pushing you, you bring it to the front. Now it's the baruch haba. Come to us to the wedding. But don't forget, b'hamishito yosef alav, you have to now double down and study, go back to the books, b'hamisham shetra, which is the source of all. And you also learn abotai, another lesson over here, of don't use God in order to justify your negative behavior. Now don't come along and say, oh, Shavuot, Hashem's name. You're hiding behind the cloak of a kohen, like a tzaddik, that you're swearing, guys, if you care about God, Adrabah, you're using God to be a thief. You're using God's name in order to be a crook. You're using a God in order to swindle somebody. Rabbi Hirsch says, that's the avon on the guy. That it's one thing to steal, but to come along as you're such a religious guy to use Hashem's name to help you steal, that's a ma'al. And, of course, we understand over here the lesson of that the stealing of Bnei Yisrael is much different than the stealing of the Goyim. Stealing of the Goyim is a base stealing. Our Gezel is on a much higher level. And that's why at the end of the Ilah, we say the goal of all this exercise for 40 days was Leman Ne'adan Me'oshik Yadenu. We don't want to be Resh Shadeh. We don't want to be the head of the thieves. Halach Le'oraita. Our strength should go to the Torah. Baruch Adonai Le'olam.